5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Justin James.
And welcome back. Hey, it has been a while, and now I'm here, and this is just awesome to be able to be here with you. I want to thank you so much for tuning in to the Justin James Show. We got a jam-packed show. Last time, my son decided to take over, so it was okay to have fun, and, you know, we have to have good laughs once in a while, but there has been a lot going on, and unfortunately, because we deal with a worldview, we deal with a Christian worldview, we look at some of the things that are going on, we have to look at some of these things, and this is going to be we're going to dive into some pretty heavy stuff today. So sit back and relax and just realize, hey, what were we talking about? First of all, we have to look at things on a kingdom aspect. We have to look at things at how we live the world around us. So those are the two aspects that we have to look at is, you know, first of all, we live for a king. We live for him, for Christ Jesus. But we're also living on this world, and how do we better this world for the kingdom? And so sometimes those cultures and kingdom and culture, it's kind of hard to bring together a little bit. But that's why we do this show, because I want to help you and even help myself through your emails and through your questions and through your things. And again, if you want to be a part of the program, you can. It's just justinjamesshow@gmail.com. That's justinjamesshow@gmail.com. I'll put the email address in the description there. So you can always be a part of the program. You can always come in and say, hey, any questions or anything you may have, maybe I got something wrong and you want to just call me out on that. I'm completely fine with that, because I love my listeners and I love you, and I love the fact that you're a part of this show. And of course, if you always want to help the show out, because we are a nonprofit show, I guess, or if you want to call it nonprofit, but you're always welcome to contribute with that if you want to. You're always welcome to donate and things like that. That way we can get better equipment, we better things, so that we can help continue to spread this show out through the world. And again, I want to encourage you, take our show and share it with your people. And I hope these conversations that we have here help you have these conversations with your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, and even with the lost. But today we have to deal with some things, and I'm going to bring in a friend of mine, Vita Phone, because my mom is awesome. She blessed me with this new way of being able to do ways through this new board. And maybe I sound a little bit different, and I apologize for that. I'm still playing around with this thing. So, but yeah, it allows me to have phone calls. So we can actually do phone calls here. And so we can tap people in and reach out to the world. And it's kind of cool. So I have a familiar face with me, and I'm going to go ahead and bring him on right now. And so, Ian, how are you, brother? Are you there?
Hey, brother, I'm doing real good, man. Thanks for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. Hang on. Now, as you know, because you're a popular person on this show, you know, because, you know, everybody loves you and hates me. I found your theme song. I think, you know, everybody has to have that theme song. I guess that's because I used to watch wrestling when I was growing up, and everybody has that theme song. You know what I mean? That song. I think I found your theme song. You here we go. Let's see. So tell me if this is good for you. Ready?
Oh yeah, that's old school.
That's old school. Right, yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead and introduce yourself in and bring on. Come on in the program here.
Hey, my name is Ian Bartholomew, and I'm a good friend of, at least I think I'm a good friend of Justin James, and it's just a pleasure to be here. I'm glad to see how God is blessing you and expanding your reach, man. I'm in another part of Texas, you're on the other side, and we're able to communicate live, so that's awesome.
Well, that's because I have an incredible mom and who just blessed me with this new equipment to be able to help. A way that we can reach out to you, and even though you're across the state, you know, hey, you know, but our podcast doesn't just, you know, it's not just in Texas, it's actually throughout the world. You know that, right? People around the world listen to our podcast. And
man,
so
that's amazing.
Ain't that cool? I mean, technology is so cool. You could do some really neat things in with the technology that we have, but we can also do some really bad things too. So, you know,
true,
unfortunately, we got to talk about this, and this is not going to be a fun subject to talk about, because, you know, we just got to talk about this.
Yeah. Big shout out to your mom, man. This is a good piece of equipment. We praise God for.
I know. I know.
Using her to get this equipment, man. It's an enhancement to your ministry.
Well, she believes in me that much, and so you know, it's on that point where, you know, she's just like, "Hey, I want to help you. I want to bless you with this." And so, you know, I was like, "Wow, mom. Wow, I'm blessed to have my mom. I'm really blessed to have, you know, the members of my family and the people who do support me, you know, and so with the things that I do." And you know, people might call me necessarily the black sheep of the family or whatever, because I choose a different road than most of what my family would. But, you know, it's okay, because we all have our gifts, we all have our talents, and my gift is, you know, in theology and teaching and helping people and evangelism and apologetics and philosophy.
It's okay to be different. It's okay to be different.
Man, I'm so different, man. People look at me like, what? If you see me on the street, you'll be like, what's wrong with that, man? But no. But I try to love everybody, and I try to let everybody know that I love them. And even though we might have disagreements on different policies and different areas of worldviews within that.
Right.
But, all right, well, so we got to dive into this thing. Unfortunately, as you know, about a couple of weeks ago, probably about a month ago, I'm really late coming to the show on this, but we got to deal with this, is that, as you know, the Houston Chronicle, I believe, and the San Antonio Times, or this, anyway, a newspaper in Houston, a newspaper in San Antonio, came out with this sexual harassment or abuse case from the Southern Baptist Convention.
I heard about that.
And here's the thing, though. I am a Southern Baptist, and I'm proud to be. I'm not a Southern Baptist necessarily because I like, oh wow, the Southern Baptist is really neat. No, that doesn't what makes me a Southern Baptist. What makes me the Southern Baptist is, as you know, I look at the doctrine of where they look at views of how we look at it systematically, how we look at God, how we look at salvation, how we look at the autonomy of the church, how we look at freedom of religion, and how we look at family. And through those aspects of that and how we look at this and how we look at the Word of God, it just aligns better with me. I like it.
Gotcha.
And so that's what makes me a Southern Baptist. It's not necessarily, oh, wow, I'm a follower of this guy, I'm a follower of this guy.
Right, right.
No.
So you're not saying that all other persuasions in terms of Christian denomination-based organizations are wrong. You're not saying that. You're just persuaded by the SBC's outlook and their, what do you call that, their tenet, their faith tenet.
Right, right. It to me, it just makes more sense. Now, I have friends that are very close to me. I have amazing friends that are Presbyterian. I have amazing friends that are Assemblies of God. I got very close friends who are non-denominational, and I love them all. But for me, what keeps us all together is that our love for Christ and how we look at Christ.
Absolutely.
And so, I got friends that are Jehovah's Witnesses, but you know, we definitely have some disagreements on who Christ is on that. And we talk about that.
Right.
And you know, about a month ago, I was ministering to a Muslim, and finally he cut it off. I mean, he's like, okay, I can't, no. And he got mad at me and said, no more, I'm cutting you out of my life. But that's okay, because what we're trying to, my whole basis is always pointing people to Christ, not pointing people to a denomination.
I see. And that's very important for people to know, that our objective is to lead them to Christ. And like you said, and not to any particular denomination.
Right. And I mean, as long as we look at things biblically, and it's fine. I have friends that look at biblical context, and we'd have disagreements on certain things in biblical context, but the core we all agree on, and you know, within
right.
that. But when we look at what's happening within the churches, especially with the SBC, I mean, first of all, I mean, anybody who is a Christian, immediately their heart should break. To hear of these accusations and hear of these people that are abusing these children. And I mean, our heart broke when we heard what was going on in the Catholic Church.
Absolutely.
I mean, these are a place where God is supposed to be at, in these sanctuaries, in this idea of what the church is supposed to be about. Church, universal church, not necessarily a Baptist church or a Catholic church or a Lutheran church or whatever, but it's supposed to be a universal church. And it breaks our heart when the universal church is not doing what it's supposed to be doing. And we're actually causing more damage with that. Because
churches, go ahead.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say that it's important to understand that churches are made of people, and people are fallible.
Mm-hmm.
They're prone to temptation just like any other church.
Right.
And it's important that we don't base our faith on a particular person, but base it on the work, the finished work of Jesus Christ.
Amen. And that's hard, because we want to, our natural tendency is we want to take leadership and we want to put them on that pedestal. And I mean, I see it all the time where people are like, oh man, this guy's the greatest leader of all time. And they want to immediately put them on the pedestal. And we see that with even politics, and we see that with all areas in our life where we say, hey, this person is, man, he's, how you say, the Quan, he's the perfect leader, and we put him on a pedestal, and we forget about who we really are, that we are all fallen, we are all sinful. But unfortunately, our sins, sometimes there's a theory going around that when you sin, it literally, the inner circle will affect seven people off of one sin. However, but sometimes that circle will start expanding and that ripple will fly out and even get more and more and more. And, you know, we have to, Christ died for our sins, but unfortunately through our sins, we can cause a lot of damage with individuals.
Sure. And we can. And that's true.
Man, I'm preaching to the choir. I made a lot of dumb mistakes in my life, and I've done some sinful things in my life. And I realize through those areas, I've hurt people, I've disappointed people, I've done some pretty dumb, stupid things, because I am flesh, and I'm a wrench. I'm wretched. I have nothing.
And that's true of all of us that have the proper biblical view of fallen nature.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things, Justin, I wanted to mention was when the scandal broke about the Catholic Church,
mm-hmm.
man, I was disgusted. Not because I felt that I'm better or anything like that, but I was just in awe that something like this can go on and that for so long. And the next day or two, there was the issue with the SBC.
Mm-hmm.
And it really gave me a wake-up call that, you know, I can't look outside and judge others and not expect to be judged in my own home or within my own circle. And so with the same level of disgust that I had for the Catholic Church and the scandal that was going on there, I had to share that with the news that was breaking out of San Antonio.
Mm.
And so I think when it comes down to sin, it's very important for us to be unbiased, regardless of your race, gender, political view, or denominational preference. You know, it would be different if I were to take a stance and say, well, it's horrible for the Catholic Church, but it's okay for the Southern Baptist. And
right.
So to make sure that my spirit is in check, you know, it's important for me to acknowledge, even just, you know, amongst friends that, you know, the scandal is, it's horrible. It doesn't matter if you're Catholic, if you're Presbyterian, if you're Orthodox, you know, it's horrible. And it affects us. And it affects us for a long time, unfortunately.
And it's
like
going to,
the rippling, it spreads. Sin is a cancer.
Yeah.
It spreads and affects us. And it actually shows us, man, that we are so in need of God through Christ, by His Spirit. That's the only way, you know, sin can be eradicated. And it's important for us to see these things so that we can understand that this world is not a perfect place.
Mm-hmm.
And the people that are in it are not perfect people. And we must continue to rely on and depend on the grace of God so that we can make it.
Yeah. And that's so true. And that's where the problem is that, again, we look at these things and we're like, hey, wow, look how great this the organization is. But
right.
instead of looking at the organization, we need to be like, wow, look how great Christ is. And now we have people who are supposed to be ambassadors of Christ causing this problem, causing this hurt. And I mean, somebody who speaks from experience, our church pain or church wounds are the hardest to heal.
Yes, they are.
Oh, man. I mean, they are the hardest to heal because, I mean, I'm going to tell you right now, I know I've been lied to by pastors. I have been deceived by deacons. I have been literally, I mean, some of the things that I've heard with my own 2 years and some of the things that I've heard coming out of the mouth of people who I'm thinking, that person should never act like that.
Right.
And now we have people, children and adults now that have been affected, not by the gospel, by people who they're supposed to be trusting. They're affected by emotional scars, physical scars, and even spiritual scars, which is, I mean, and I mean, this is devastating to the church. But hey,
now,
I got to take a quick break. But I tell you what, we're gonna come right back to this. So don't go away, and you're gonna stay right there with us, right?
Yes, sir. We'll be here.
Okay, let me take a quick break, and I'll be right back.
You're listening to the Justin James Show.
If you need that aerial photo, there is no one else to call but O'Madden Aerial Photography. They are able to take stunning photos or videos of your place of business, home, worship, or just about anything you can think of. They are highly professional, and they use state-of-the-art drone technology. Realtors love aerial photography because they are able to show the entire house to their clients. And churches love to be able to see their whole building that the Lord has provided. Whatever your reason, now is the time to call 972-834-4890. That is 972-834-4890. Or check them out at omaddenaerialphotography.com. O'Madden Aerial Photography, the finest in the air.
You're listening to The Justin James Show.
All right. Well, we're back. And again, I have Ian on the line here. We're going to continue our conversation with what's going on in the SBC. And there's a lot going on with that. So, Ian, sorry about the break, man. I hope you enjoy those wonderful commercials.
What is life without commercials, man?
Man, in order to do any type of broadcasting, you want to make sure that you can talk about an item or talk about something. It's just kind of the part of the field a little bit. But I love doing it because it actually makes me a better broadcaster within it. And so it gives me challenges how I can do things or how I can be able to present a different thing. So within that. And so that's why I do that. And, you know, I mean, check these things out. You know, if you... I know Sean for a while, and he does some wonderful aerial photography, and if you're in the DFW area, I'm telling you, if you need an aerial photography, this guy, he has the equipment. He is just an awesome guy. He's just a good friend of mine. And, so of course, when I started this thing, I was like, hey, with this and this, and of course I got my good friend Joe, which he had commercials on for a couple of episodes on that. And so with Encore, of course, Joe's just an awesome guy, you know? And so, for me, it's to help my friends out and to help with that. So within that,
right.
But let's get back to this because we only have a certain amount of minutes on this, and I want to make sure that we're not taking too much time. You know, we could be easily talking about this for hours. But I try to limit the time here because I do care about you. And again, if you want to be a part of the program, you can email me at justinjamesshow@gmail.com. Again, it's going to be in the description there. So click on that, copy, email me your thoughts, your opinions, or whatever. And again, if you want to be a help with the program, I use Anchor, so you can just click on Anchor there, and you can be able to donate, $5 a month or $10 a month. And again, that funds help me with this ministry, and we're able to take this the gospel message and these ideas around to the whole world. We really can within this. And so anyway, that's my bid, and I'm going to stick to it, I guess. But let's go back. Here's what's kind of going on now. So because in the SBC, and I mentioned this before in the opening, we're dealing with autonomous churches, and what autonomous means is that the church is not governed by a government board. When you look at the Catholic Church, the Roman Catholic Church, they have a pope, they have the bishops, they have people that literally tell each individual church through its organization of what these individual churches should do. Even to the point, to an extent, on even in some denominations where they will come in and say, hey, listen, on during this season, I need you to preach these sermons. Now, I mean, of course, each you know, I mean, certain priests will have say, well, you know, I don't want to really do that, but I got to hit these particular outlines because they're trying to keep everything or getting ready for some type of an event or some type of, something. And so, you know, again, they'll get their orders from a different organization, from the organizational model. What autonomous means is that the church itself creates its own government body, not the outside. So everything is inside the church. However, to order to be a part of the Southern Baptist Convention, you have to agree with what we call the Baptist Faith and Message, where mainly we look at the doctrines on that. I think there's 15-ish, I'll just say 15-ish on the top of my head. But through that, you have to agree with that, and you have to say, yeah, I agree with this doctrine statement. I agree with where the Southern Baptist holds. And therefore, and you also contribute money, which they have the thing called their corporate program, or a cooperative program, which everybody, they put all this money in a pod. They use it for missions. They use it for education. They use it for different training materials. So, you know, through these different organizations that are under umbrella of this convention. So a couple of weeks ago, when all this came out, the president, who is J.D. Greer, wanted to come in. And he wanted to say, okay, these churches that have these problems, we want to remove them outside of the SBC. We want to kick them out. So, as you being kind of a person on the outside, how do you feel about that? Do you feel that that the church should take care of themselves or necessarily, which a lot of churches do? They set up their own security. They set up their own body. And again, a lot of churches do that. The autonomous level, this is where I'm concerned about, is there's a line in the sand here now. And yeah, don't get me wrong. I mean, if you do something wrong with a child, you need to go to jail and you need to be persecuted, or you need to be prosecuted to the highest end of the law.
Persecuted.
Persecuted. But sorry, that was my Bell's palsy popping in. So,
Freudian slip.
Yeah, oops. But the thing also is there needs to be an investigation. And as you know, and as any person knows, anytime when somebody accuses of something, there has to be an investigation. I think that you're, according to our Constitution, you're innocent until proven guilty, right?
Right, right. But are these things founded and proven? Because it seems like the organization have concluded that these things were viable based on the evidence.
I do think that the newspaper articles that they did say that each
action or accountability,
right, and that's where the interesting thing is how far of accountability should you be able to influence into where the autonomous line is at. So,
well,
No, go ahead, because you're on.
I was just gonna say, from the outside looking in, I'm not necessarily a member of the organization, but from the outside looking in, I believe people are looking for some type of reprimand, some type of accountability, some type of checks and balances where they can feel that this is not an ongoing process and the persons deemed guilty have been dealt with to the fullest extent, not only of the organization, but also of the law itself. And I personally support that.
Mm-hmm.
That whoever the guilty party is should be punished. And in terms of the church being autonomous, I mean, they can be, the church in general could be taken out of this said particular organization. But what is that going to profit? I mean, I would deal with the individual because the whole church didn't commit such a heinous act. It was the individual. So I definitely would recommend dealing with the individual person as opposed to the whole body, the whole group, because no doubt there are people within that church where the offender attends or the perpetrator attends. I'm sure they are just as outraged and disgusted as those that are on the outside looking in.
Right. The other words is, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater.
Right.
Right.
But definitely have an outward expression of this situation being handled.
Right.
If you were to look at the Pope and the Catholic Church scandal, the Pope did come out. Now, I'm not Catholic, by the way, but I did enjoy the fact that the leadership stepped up and said that this is, they condemned the act and turned over the names of those perpetrators to law enforcement. Yes, it should have been done a long time ago, but I'm glad that someone else is stepping up to the plate. And now they're not shutting down the Catholic churches. They are dealing with those individuals individually.
Right.
And I support that action.
Right. And that's where, again, we have to go in. They have to do the proper investigations on each of these. And I think I have to applaud these newspapers because they really did do a really good job on the journal side, because they looked at every single case and they looked at if these parties guilty or not. Now, of course, the Southern Baptist Convention, it definitely got a black eye, and that's okay. And I mean, to me, it just shows that, you know, like, wow, okay, maybe we need to, we need to check ourselves, and that's okay. Sometimes you need to do that. But I think there's also an overreaction too that you got to be careful with. And that's the only thing I'm concerned about is the SBC overreaching their authority just so that they can say, hey, look what we're doing here. And that's the only concern that I really have with that, because, yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, we need to, each individual of these, if they were prosecuted at the full extent of the law and they're found guilty, they will be taken care of with according to our state and federal laws. But again, to say, hey, we want to immediately just remove all these churches that were part of the scandals. I don't know, man. What do you think? I think that's some...
I guess that doesn't affect the autonomy of the church, because the organization is just pretty much stating that they don't want Church X to be a part of that organization. And, I mean, I don't know, Justin. I mean, I don't think that would speak against the autonomy of the church if the organization says they just don't want them to be a part of their particular organization or their particular group. That church still is autonomous and they still make their decisions. They just can't make their decision within this other organization because someone else is on top of its leadership.
Well, yeah, and that's where, again, when you look at, mainly is it saying, hey, because I don't like the way you handled this, because I would handle it different. I think that you're playing Monday morning quarterback. Because I think every one of these churches did an investigation on these. And because, I mean, again, these people are in jail, or are they being caught? And their names are out there. So they're definitely were prosecuted. But then when the SBC comes in and says, hey, we're going to play, you know, I'm assuming we're going to play Monday morning quarterback, that's where we get into some of the things where we're kind of like, okay.
Now, I would support it under these circumstances, not to cut you off.
No, go ahead.
Sorry about that.
No.
But if the church itself was in support, I don't know why, and I'm sure this is not the case, but if the church itself was in support of such perpetrated acts and they were covering it up, and there are cases like that.
Right.
Then I would say, yes, the whole group needs to be displaced out of that particular organization.
Right.
Because together as a unit, they are supporting this type of activity.
Right. And because you're saying that this whole body, this local body, is supporting this, within that. And again, no, I would totally agree with you on that again, but the thing that I've noticed a lot, and this is where I'm trying to get my words out here, is that every time that something happens, it feels like, I feel like that an organization feels like they have to go in and they're going to have to literally say, okay, you don't know what you're doing. Let us do it for you. And you can just sense more and more control over certain things. And that's just not just dealing with in the SBC and necessarily, I mean, that's just dealing with all aspects of government. When we have these horrible shootings, these mass shootings, immediately everybody's saying, hey, let government come in and let government take guns away from people. It's always been that every time there's something horrible happen, it's almost there's always a reaction of overreaching. And that's the only thing.
I think it needs to be tempered. I agree with you there.
Yeah, and that's the only thing that I'm worried about. And I'm not trying to say, no, I mean, if the body of church was hiding it, which, you know, I think that's what J.D. Greer was actually saying, hey, listen, some of these bodies were hiding it. Yes. But if they weren't hiding it, then if they were, again, if the person, you know, if the church, now, sure. I can tell you there's some churches that did hide it, and I know a few individuals that, because unfortunately where I'm at and the people that I interact with, I know a lot of history of the SBC, and I know a lot of history with some preachers, and I mean, there's just one particular one in mind that I'm thinking of, but he was one of the most incredible preachers, but he had a major problem, and unfortunately some of the leaders just they covered it up. Because like this,
yeah, that's a shame.
Yeah, and they covered it up, and you can't, and unfortunately, and you know, eventually, once they started hearing more and more what was going on, they did finally address it, unfortunately, this particular preacher is on that list. He was actually, he's the first one. I was curious, like, okay, because I mean, he'd been in jail.
Now, had they dealt with him the way, with a stronger hand in the previous cases, maybe he wouldn't have showed up on the list at hand.
Well, they did remove him. I mean, they did remove him away from his authority. But again, because of the church, because of his, of this particular individual, because he was he was a great preacher. And I mean, he, some of the things that I heard that he did in behind the pulpit are still amazing. I mean, just like, wow, you know, but that is just one of the big things that were just kind of going on. And, you know, but yet because of his popularity, again, we talk about, remember, putting leadership on a pedestal. That's exactly what they did with this young man. It's like, this man can be able to be the next president of the SBC. I mean, he was that in a bag of chips, you know what I mean? And that's what they did, was they poured into him. But unfortunately, all the accusations that came out, they at first they're like, oh, okay, we got to stop. We don't know about this. But then when more and more and more and more people started coming out, they're like, okay, then they cut him out. I mean, they cut out the roots of this individual.
Right.
But and still,
and that's what should happen, you know, cut the roots
right
out.
Yeah, and that's exactly, again, what's going on. But it's a tragic thing. And, you know, I'm gonna encourage, you know, anyone, and I know Ian would do the same thing. You know, if you've been spiritually abused, physically abused, mentally abused, please go seek help. I mean, please. One of my good friends is one of the directors of Hope for the Heart, and I'm gonna continue to point that way. Call them, interact with them. They can help you. They really can. Hang on, let me get that number for you here, because I think it's really important that, you know, you that you call and you have somebody you can talk to that in a comfort zone that they can help you within that. You know, it's super important. And
right, because being victimized is nothing to be just swept under the rug.
No,
and you deserve healing.
Yes,
you deserve justice.
Yes. Okay, and that number, and I'm going to repeat this, I'm going to put this on there, is 1-800-488-HOPE, 1-800-488-HOPE, which is 4673. So, again, you're welcome to call anybody anytime with that number, and I'm going to continue to point people to Hope for the Heart because it's a great ministry. June Hunt's a wonderful lady. I've had the chance of meeting her. You met her a couple of times, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, yeah. She's just a wonderful lady. She really does care. But again, if you've been through emotional or anything that's going on, I mean, go seek help. And I mean, this is just an avenue. I mean, you might want to talk to somebody in your church that's a licensed counselor or something like that, that can be able to help you within that. Because the number is 1-800-488-HOPE, 1-800-488-HOPE. And I'll put that number in the description because you never know who's listening to this and, you know, within that. But please go get help. But I'm really concerned on what's really how this affects the church, because it does put a black eye on the church. And that's what I'm concerned about is, but how do we address it? How do we move forward in that? That would be the question I have for you. How do we move forward with this?
Right. And it would be easy to say I had the answer, but I don't.
Well, you should have the answer. But no. And again, I think that the most important thing, first of all, is look for Christ. Let Christ be the center of your universe. And not an individual, not the pain, not the suffering. Look at Christ and let Him, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, be the center of your universe. And because through Him, healing, reconciliation, peace, joy, all of these things will come through Him, come through that fountain through Him, not through an individual. And I'm not trying to take a Bible and just smack people on the head with it but I know what Christ can do, and I know the power of God because He is God. If He's the creator of heavens and earth, imagine what He can do to your own heart. You know what I mean? So.
And that's true. That's true.
Yeah.
And keep in mind, you know, in the multitude of counseling, there is safety. And so don't allow the enemy to push you out there to feel that you're alone or to make you feel that you're the cause of said victimization and perpetration.
Right.
You know, but seek help and know that God is able, you know, give voice to that pain.
Yeah. And don't be encouraged to still stay in church. Go and be around believers. That is one of the most incredible lies. And I can tell you from experience, Ian can probably tell you from experience, when we stop going and fellowshipping with Christians, ooh, brother, whew, man, you've been there, I've been there. I mean, I think everybody's been there. That's where the devil can really, really, man, he can go to town on you. You know what I mean? You'd be like, oh.
See, because the enemy, his target is the body of Christ. And let's not forget that Eli's two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, were sleeping with the women, I believe, at the door of the temple.
Uh-huh.
And the father, Eli, wasn't handling it appropriately. And, of course, Samuel had come in and pronounced judgment. And so I bring that up because the church is the target of the enemy. And if there's going to be any issues, it's going to be in or around the church.
Right.
And so we have to, in one hand, put our guard up, and yet in the other hand, you know, be ready to heal and be ready to help at the same time.
Yeah.
But all church has been plagued with internal and external problems. Mm-hmm. I mean, back from the Roman Empire on backwards. So, you know, understand that this is an imperfect world, and that doesn't excuse the sins and the things that people are doing. But it kind of gives us at least a heads up to say, I have to be careful, watch myself around whoever. Because no one on this planet is infallible, including our leaders, including our shepherds.
That's right.
Myself included. I'm at the top of the list, you know.
Right. I mean, and I could have said it more beautifully. And we have to, that's why we need each other. and, you know, I need in because he, you know, he's my brother in Christ, and he challenges me, not to challenge me to beat me down. He challenges me to make me better, you know, and that's why I have my friends like Tim and Pastor Tay. I mean, and those are just individuals that you know because you listen to this podcast, but there, I have more friends and family members in the brother, in the body of Christ that challenge me and literally hold me accountable for my actions. And I got some that, you know, I mean, they're like, man, Justin, what are you doing? I'm like, well, I messed up. I did something I probably shouldn't. I probably said something I probably shouldn't have said. And, you know, and I get that a lot because I do this podcast and, you know, I have people, what did you say? You know, you did what? You know, so. But anyway, man, and thank you so much for joining us on this program and to be able to talk about this really strong issue. And
my pleasure, man, listen,
if you please keep him in prayer as he continues to, as he's traveling. He is a dear friend of mine. And again, we'll probably definitely see you, you know, you're going to be more and more on this podcast, and we just love you. And with your wisdom and with your knowledge and your passion. And so, but anyway, guys, thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for being a part of this and letting me be able to be a part of your life. And again, if you have any questions or anything that, you know, I need to address or talk about, please reach out to me. My email address is justinjamesshow@gmail.com. That's justinjamesshow@gmail.com. And always, the Hope for the Heart number should be there in the description. So if you have a problem, you need to talk to somebody because you're dealing with something, reach out to them. And in the meanwhile, God bless you, and may the Lord keep you and bless you. And I want to encourage you that the Lord loves you more than you will ever know, and so do I. And so with that, you have a beautiful week, and we will see you right here back at the Justin James Show.
Up there.
Justin James.